Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Christian Communicators Live, where we help your ministry grow by sharing insider information from professional speakers and writers.
Well, good afternoon, listeners. Thank you for joining us here at Christian Communicators Live. I'm Carolyn Canapley, your host for today. And Vonda is here to take your phone calls a little later in the program. Hey, Vonda, isn't it a great opportunity to have a Christian Communicators grad here with us today?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We just love Lori and cannot wait to share her with the audience. And a special treat, Lori has graciously offered a book for us to give away later in the program. So everyone needs to listen so they'll know when to call in.
Yay. Well, Lori, we're so glad to have you joining us today. We'd like to say a big welcome to you too, Lori.
Thank you, Carolyn and Vonda. I've been looking forward to this all week.
We have to.
Good. Well, before I start asking you a few questions, I'd like to tell our listeners a little bit about you, Lori. Lori Hatcher is an author, blogger, women's ministry speaker, and a faculty presenter at writers' conferences. She's the editor of South Carolina's Outreach Columbia magazine and has authored two devotional books. One is Hungry for God, Starving for Time, 5-Minute Devotion for Busy Women, and A Joy in the Journey, Encouragement for Homeschooling Moms. As a Christian Communicators grad, Lori uses her speaking and writing ministry to help women connect with God in the craziness of life. You'll find her pondering the marvels and the mundane of her blog at Hungry for God, Starving for Time at www.lorihatcher.com. That's www.lorihatcher.com. Lori is a very busy lady, serving the Lord with her gifts and her talents. Now, this leads me to the first question, Lori. Print magazines, I hear, are becoming more and more rare. Can you tell us a little bit about Outreach Columbia's beginning and its long-term goal?
Sure, I would love to. Reach Out Columbia began about 8 years ago with a vision of two women. They wanted to have a publication that celebrated the way God was at work through ordinary people. They also wanted a vehicle for being able to share the gospel and just how God was alive and at work in the everyday parts of our life. They looked around at the market in Columbia. There were a lot of secular magazines, but there wasn't a Christian magazine. And even though neither of these women, one was a writer, one was just a businesswoman, neither of them had any particular publishing experience, they felt like the Lord was calling them to do this. He had given them the vision, and they just believed God was going to make it happen. And he did. Reach Out Columbia now has a readership of about 20,000. We make it available free in doctor's offices, restaurants, car washes, churches, businesses, anywhere they will have us. And we also have it available by subscription, so our loyal readership always knows their magazine is going to show up in their mailbox every month. But it has just been such a joy to be part of this work, because it is my heart too. I love Christian writing and I love bragging on Jesus, and so this is just a perfect fit for me.
Fantastic. Well, how did the ladies find you that you became the editor of Outreach Columbia?
This is the silliest story, really, but it's a testimony of how when we are faithful in the little things, God makes us ruler over much. My first contact with Reach Out Columbia, besides just admiring it and loving to read it was I noticed that they would accept parenting articles. And at the time, I was a homeschooling mom, and I wrote a devotion of encouragement for homeschooling moms for our newsletter every month. And it went out to our support group. Well, I noticed that because they published parenting articles, I realized if I tweaked the article just a little bit and took out the references to homeschooling, it really referred and it was applicable to Christian parents across the board. So I submitted an article, and it was, for the most part, Reach Out Columbia is not a paying market. All of our writers write for no compensation, no financial compensation, and I was delighted to find that they accepted my article. That gave me the courage to submit other pieces, devotional pieces or parenting pieces, which they published. And about that time, my former editor, Sue Duffy, came on board. Sue was an industry professional. She has written several beautiful, wonderful, fun, exciting novels. She's home with the Lord now. She lost her battle to cancer about a year ago, but she was the first to assign me an article for Reach Out Columbia. It was a story about a Habitat for Humanity house that was being built in my neighborhood. And I guess she had become familiar enough with my writing that she decided to take a chance on me. Well, many, many years ago, I was a journalism student in high school, but I had set that love of writing aside when I got married and had my kids and went in a different direction. So I thought that part of my life was gone forever. And lo and behold, I get my first newspaper assignment in 25 years. So I submitted that, and that led to other assignments. And then when her novel writing career took off and she realized she couldn't continue to edit Reach Out Columbia magazine, she submitted my name as her top pick to be her successor.
That's wonderful. Lori, I love what you just said, that you thought you were going to put your journalism on the shelf and that was just finished with your life. God looks at our hearts and he sees the very pinpoint, buried desire of our hearts, and he brings it about when we least expect it, I find sometimes. I just read your article in Reach Out Columbia titled Intentional Celebrations, Rescuing Easter. I saw your love right there. It was great. Now, my question for you is, where do you find your material, and what makes a piece really stand out?
That is a challenge as an editor, because I'm also a writer, so I've been on both sides of the submission process. I submit magazine articles to other magazines, and they get accepted or rejected, and so I think I'm especially tender toward those who submit articles to me. What I always look for is a fresh approach to something, because we've all read the stereotypical pieces, especially Easter. Easter was one of those examples. I was pondering something about Easter that was different, that wasn't just your traditional Easter piece, and nothing came across my desk in submission, so I decided to write it myself. I thought, what can we do? What can we do to reclaim Easter and give it its proper honor and proper place in our year, our Christian celebrations? Mm-hmm. And so that's probably the thing that really attracts my attention as an editor, is someone who looks at a familiar topic in a different way, in a fresh way. It still has to be biblically accurate and sound, but it's just a little different spin on things.
Wow. And that leads me to the very next question. Where do you find your writers?
My writers are very, very varied. Because Columbia, Reach Out Columbia is a local magazine, I love to feature South Carolina writers. They get first priority just because it is a local magazine. However, we also feature nationally known Christian figures or ministries as well. So those also have a place in our magazine. Oftentimes that will be a profile piece, will be, for example, Anne Graham Lotz or Dr. Gary Chapman, Steve and Curtis Chapman. They've been on our magazine covers before. And so anyone I would love for people to submit article ideas or articles themselves. We publish in several different areas. We have reflection pieces. We have teaching pieces. We have profile pieces. Usually our profile pieces are either a nationally known Christian figure or ministry or a local one within South Carolina. That's how Christian Communicators came to be on our pages this month. We were just so excited to be able to talk about what you and Vonda have done through Christian Communicators and just let people in our state know about that. So it comes from a lot of different ways. We're open to local people who are reporting on things that are happening around Columbia, and then other people who may have a connection with a nationally known figure or a musician or, you know, anyone working in the Christian world. They're certainly open. I would love to have queries on those type articles as well.
And what kind of query gets your first attention? It makes the first cut of a pile of everything that comes into you.
Well, as long as one of the most important things I think for any publication is for a potential writer to go to the website of that publication and check the writer's guidelines or submission guidelines. Oftentimes I'm down to the wire, and I have to choose between two pieces. And if one piece, if they're of equal merit, if one piece is formatted according to our guidelines, and I know it's not going to take me a tremendous amount of work to make it fit our publication, and the other one is not, then I'm going to go with the one that follows the submission guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Great, great advice. Can you think back, what was the most memorable article that you've had that got the greatest response, and how did the public contact you about the article?
I think one of our most powerful stories was an interview with Stephen Curtis Chapman. This was at the beginning of his new tour last year, and it was the first time he was touring since the death of his 5-year-old daughter, Maria. I received, I think, notice from his publicity person saying that he would be available for interviews if magazines or newspapers would like to, as part of their promotional. And we forget that sometimes. We forget that celebrities and writers and musicians need the press just like the press needs them. So a lot of times we assume they're too important, they're too famous to be willing to be interviewed by a nobody, but they need us just like we need them. And so as part of helping promote that new musical tour, Stephen Curtis Chapman was open to interviews. So I submitted a request, and even though we're not a large publication, they accepted our request for an interview, and we were able to just tell the beautiful, horrible, wonderful, grace-filled story of how God has just restored that family from such a tragic loss, and how God has just put music back into Stephen Curtis Chapman's heart again. He said when Maria first died, he didn't know if he would ever sing again. But then God, through his beautiful healing ministry, has just restored his family's joy, and he's able to continue to sing and testify of God's grace.
Wow, that was a great story to share. How did the public get a hold of you to let you know about their response to that story?
Well, because I am local here in the community, in the exact area that Reach Out Columbia is primarily distributed, it's usually somebody running me down in the halls at church, or we also hear from, and that can be good or bad. If somebody doesn't like an article, I also get run down in the halls of church and get an earful as well. Thankfully, that doesn't happen very often. But people also will send emails. I received an email this week about an article that ran in our magazine probably 9 months ago, and it was a tribute to my former editor, Sue Duffy, who died of pancreatic cancer in the fall, last June. And because this is a kind of a timeless magazine, people don't just read it and throw it away like your copy of Woman's Day. They keep it and they pass it on. So this man had come across that June issue, June 2014 issue of Reach Out Columbia, and he read the words describing Sue, that sometimes life's train jumps a track and you find yourself a part of a story you never intended to be a part of. Cancer did that for Sue, and he was also a cancer survivor, and he said that line just resonated with him, and it just it encapsulated what his journey had been as well. And so he just thanked me for putting those words on the paper and giving him a way to describe what had happened to him. So that was very satisfying to know that it resonated with him.
Oh, great. What I'm hearing, Lori, is Reach Out Columbia is personal. You're touching the lives personally with the stories, and then you're there for them to respond face-to-face.
That leads
us to asking Vonda to share with our listeners the instructions that they can call in and ask a question. But I have more questions for you too, Lori. Vonda, it's to you.
Yes, we would love to hear from our listeners any questions that you have for Lori, who is an editor. And it's not every day that you can hear a specific response, or not face-to-face, but live with a question. So if you have a question for Lori, simply call in. The number is 347-843-4920, and the first person to call in will receive a copy of Lori's book. And Lori, I just love hearing your insights, and thank you for being with us and helping us as writers to do better and to be able to see our work become public and before others' eyes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well,
and back to you.
There does seem to be this iron curtain. I kind of put it like the Wizard of Oz. You remember the Wizard of Oz is big and imposing, and he had this booming voice and lights and all that. And then you peel back the curtain, and it's this little tiny man sitting in his. Well, you know what? That's what editors are too. They seem very imposing with their titles and their picture and the editor's letter, but they're really just sitting there in their favorite lazy boy chair with their computer on their lap and their dog next to them, and they're just real people. But we also have a goal, we have a mission, and our submissions have to fit the goal and the purpose of the magazine. So rejecting is not a personal thing. It's just, does this shoe fit, or do we need to pass it on to someone with a smaller foot?
Yeah, there you go.
But I do have a question if you could share with us, Lori. Can you tell us a little bit about the process an article does go through before it's in print?
Okay, that's a good question. Many times an article will begin with a query. One of my writers or someone who wants to write for me will say, hey, I know about this fantastic coffee shop ministry that is reaching people who don't feel comfortable attending a regular church, and they've got all these unique outreaches, and I'd love to write a story about that. Would you be interested? And if that's something that fits our needs, whether it's different enough that we haven't run something similar lately, or it just really just strikes a chord that I think it will be of widespread interest, then I'll say, yes, let's do it. And I'll give them the parameters. We'll talk about the deadline. We'll talk about how long it needs to be. Sometimes I'll submit some questions that I feel like are important for the writer to answer. What I always ask people to do is to picture yourself in the position as the reader. What questions would you have if you didn't know anything about this subject? And make sure those questions get answered first. They may not be the first thing you get to in the first paragraph, but make sure those details are there. So then they will either do their interview or they'll research their subject. And this is not just for feature articles. I have a lawyer in town that loves to write on theological matters. He's a deep Bible scholar. And so he'll propose a subject like a series of articles about grace. This is what we've got going right now, a four-article series on grace. And he has done his Bible study work, and he's formulating these articles too. So the writer will work on it, then they'll submit it to me by or before the deadline. That's very important. and then I will edit, and I will read the material, and I'll see if I have any questions as a reader, and I'll send those back, or I'll ask to give more information or clarification. Then I'll edit for grammar and punctuation and spelling and formatting. Hopefully, because they've read the writer's guidelines, there won't be too many formatting issues, but there's always something. There are always some little things that are unique to publications. And then I'll send it back, usually to the writer. Some writers do not want to see the redline version of their article. They just can't handle it. So they'll just say, edit it, I trust you. Others want to learn from a professional edit. And so they'll say, yes, please send me the redline version. And by looking at the corrections I've made, then that allows them to refine their own writing. And then once we get a piece that we feel like is ready to go, I submit all our monthly articles to our art director, who takes those beautiful words and combines them with an attractive layout and photographs and captions and sidebars and all that. Then she sends it back to me, and I proof it again, and then it's a magazine.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I imagine the issue that is not your favorite is missing deadlines, but would you share with us your favorite part about being an editor for a Christian magazine?
My favorite part about being an editor of a Christian magazine is that I feel like I am coming alongside the church and the body of Christ, and just especially our goal for spotlighting God working through ordinary people. I think those are the people that are so often not celebrated and not recognized. It's easy to see someone who's nationally famous and getting all the awards and the accolades, but we've had articles about the man who was a janitor for 50 years at Columbia International University. He served faithfully for 50 years. And so,
wow.
I think that's God's heart. God cares about faithfulness and commitment and integrity. And so when I get to celebrate those people who are relatively obscure by the world standards and just plaster them on the pages of a magazine, I think that makes God's heart happy, because I think that's what he's going to do one day. The person who's at the head of the line at the banquet table is not going to be some nationally known celebrity.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, I can see why that's your favorite part. Oh, my goodness. Well, I do have another quick question for you here. You've interviewed some pretty well-known people, I'm hearing. Can you share a favorite story or two with us? You shared already about Gary Chapman. Do you have any others?
Well, actually, my funniest story about interviewing someone was when I interviewed Dr. Gary Chapman, who's the author of the 5 Love Languages books and 50,000 other books. He was coming to Columbia. He was going to be staying at a local hotel. His administrative assistant was with him, who I had dialogued a lot with. And as I was preparing for the interview, I just kind of thought, you know, these two sweet people are going to be in a hotel all weekend. And when I'm in a hotel, I miss some of those homey things, like when you get hungry in the middle of the night, you can't go to the refrigerator and pull out a snack. So I thought, I'm going to make cookies. I'm going to bake my favorite oatmeal cookies, and I'm going to bring them for Dr. Chapman and his assistant. So I did. But as I was getting ready the last day to meet them, I was looking through one of his books, and he was talking about what his love language was, what his love language was. And it was not cookies. It was words of affirmation. And so I thought, oh, no, I want to be able to speak to him in his love language. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to scrap the cookies because I've already baked them and they really are good cookies. But I need to make sure that I speak to him through the words of affirmation. So after we met and sat down, I thanked him for his work and told him what it had meant personally to me and my family. And then I gave him the cookies. And later on, I got an email from his assistant who asked for the recipe for the cookies. So it wasn't a strikeout. It was just a bonus, I think.
I thought maybe you were going to say that you, since the gifts weren't his love language, that you just had to eat all the cookies.
Well, I did make a few extra for my family, but I even wrote a blog post about it on my Hungry for God, Starving for Time. It's called The Day I Spoke Dr. Gary Chapman's Love Language. But it does give you a good reminder that it's important to be prepared, well-prepared and well-researched mm-hmm. before you interview someone, because you want to do your homework. You want to have an interview that goes as well as possible.
Right.
Yeah, due diligence is so, so important. What has been the hardest interview you've ever done?
Oh, I think it was Stephen Curtis Chapman's interview and just listening to him talk about Maria, who was killed in a tragic car accident, and about his son, who was driving the car that struck her and accidentally killed her. I mean, that was just, it was gut-wrenching, but God's grace was just so, so manifest. But it was hard. I mean, we don't, as a person, as a compassionate person, we don't like to ask questions that we know are going to cause our subjects pain, but sometimes they need to be asked because there's the greatest story.
Yes.
Oh, that is so, so true. Well, Lori, we have just a little bit of time left, and one of the things I so admire with your blog posts, with your articles you write, and having been under your teaching before, but with the word, what I see is when you do a blog post, you are very good at using Pinterest with your pictures, your posts. Can you tell us how Pinterest brings the viewers to your blog post?
Pinterest, recently, in the last year, I've really diligently worked with Pinterest, and I think, especially depending on your audience, but my audience is busy women, and we know they span all ages. My goodness, retired women are some of the busiest women I know, but it's also a lot of young women, young mothers, 20s and 30s especially, and they love Pinterest. So my goal in my blog is for every blog post to create a Pinterest-worthy graphic, something that is pretty enough and attractive enough that somebody's going to want to pin it to their board. And then I always include a description of the blog post that's hopefully intriguing enough, never give away the answer, to cause someone to not just pin the picture on their board, but to click through and go to the blog post. And that's been very effective. That probably channels about 80% of my page views on my blog come through Pinterest. So I think it's the new way, especially younger women, are interacting with social media.
Oh, Lori, you have given us such insight today. Really want to thank you for just helping our listeners and guiding Vonda and I. Now, friends, Lori is an ongoing teacher through her website. Learn more from Lori by going to www.lorihatcher.com. And listeners, thank you for joining us today. Without you, there'd be no reason for Christian Communicators Live. Thank you for your encouragement to our ministry. Now, if you feel a call to speak and don't know where to begin, or perhaps you're already speaking but want to learn the business side, the outreach side of how to connect with other Christian women and speakers, Vonda and I would love for you to visit us at www.christiancommunicators.com.
That's where we educate, validate, and launch women in their speaking ministry. And if you are interested, go there and learn more about our upcoming Christian Communicators Conference. It's been a delight being with Lori Hatcher today. Thank you for joining us. Vonda and I hope you'll be listening to us next month. Now, from 2 Corinthians 13:14, may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.